And the reason I say this is I was in a real pickle. I mean, I was in a pickle. And I found out who my real friends were, you know, but I was starving. And I thought, you know, I could work, but I needed to find out something about the Bible because I knew there was something I was missing. And I started at Psalm 23. And what I had to find out is beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are blessed, that we have authority, that if Peter said, if Peter can do something, you can do something. If Paul can do it, you can do it. And in fact, if Jesus can do it, you can do it. And I'll lead you on the journey that I took to get out of starvation and walk in a whole new realm of Christianity that I had never heard anybody even talk about. You know, I would say, what about these things in the Bible? And they said, no, you got to have a special anointing for that. You know, what about, now this is Word of Faith preachers telling me this stuff. Said, you need to have a special anointing to do these things. And you can only operate in one office. You know, there's a five-fold ministry. I got news for you. You'll operate in whatever ministry Jesus tells you to operate in at that particular given time. If he needs you to be an evangelist, you're an evangelist. If he needs you to be a pastor, you're a pastor. If he needs you to be a teacher, you're a teacher. Amen? You can do the same things that Jesus did because he gave you equal authority. Think about that. It was also taught to me that you could only operate in one or two of the gifts of the Spirit at a time. You can operate in every single one of them. Every single one of them. Why do I say that? Because Jesus did. And you can too. Why can we do this? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus, that fell on Jesus. The very same Holy Spirit that operates all those gifts through him is the very same Holy Spirit that operates through you. Amen? We need to be finding out how we're qualified. But look at this. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're born again, Jesus becomes your Lord, and he becomes your shepherd. I know something about herding sheep. I come from big sheep country. And I know that sheep are pretty much hand to mouth. You know, we would spend a lot of time feeding them, taking care of them, keeping them alive, keeping predators away from them, protecting them, taking care of them, doing everything we could do to keep them alive. And we're earthly. And here it says, Jesus is your shepherd. You shall not lack. That means that you're not going to be missing out on anything. But you're going to have to let him be God in your life. People want to try to figure it out and try to do it on their own. Say, you know, I don't want nothing if I don't earn it on my own. Earning is good, but receiving is better. Amen. Go to Psalm chapter 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yet let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Now, we are servants of God. We don't take that lightly, but you're also sons of God. You're daughters of God. And he takes pleasure in your prosperity. Think about that. It's not a grind to him to prosper you. It's not a grind for him to bless you. And here's something else about God. See, if I gave you a hundred bucks, that would take out of my supply. And then that would mean I would only have 90% of what I had before. Say if I had 1,000, I gave you $100, and I'd only have 90%. That's not the way God is. If he gives you 1,000, it didn't hamper him. He's got thousands to give to somebody else. If he gives you a healing, he's got plenty of healing for somebody else. You didn't put a dent in his supply. So you're not going to exceed his abundance. No matter what you receive from him, you're not going to wear him out. In fact, you feed him when you receive from him. Now go down to 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell on the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There are too many people running around saying that God will meet your need. Matter of fact, I had a pastor try to convince me of this early on, and I fell into it a little bit because I didn't know much, but I said, God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. He said, he'll supply your need. If you have a need at that time, that's what he'll supply. But not these wants, but right here. The desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. He supplies those. See, there's too many people sitting around. They have a blank check that Jesus has signed in his own blood. And he said, here, take this and fill it out. And they fill it out for $5. Let me ask you something. If you had a wealthy, wealthy grandma and she signed a check and said, here, dear darling, go buy yourself something. Buy yourself something. Go buy yourself a new car. Don't tell me you won't come home in a Cadillac. If we treat our earthly parents like that, we know they want the best for us. We'll ask the best. You're not being humble by asking God to give you just enough to get by, enough for me and mine, pay our bills, and have a few beans. That's being prideful and selfish. Because you're only in it for yourself. Just give me enough that I can meet my needs and I'll leave the rest of the world alone. No. He wants you to receive from him of his abundance, his fullness. He wants you to receive so much that you have some to give out. Amen? You know, there's lots of people that could use a hand once in a while. Go down to verse 25, that same chapter. It says, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That means your kids are blessed. Your, the Bible tells us that a good man leaves a portion to his kids, leaves an inheritance to his kids, but also says that it leaves an inheritance to his kids' kids. You know a really amazing thing about Kenneth Copeland? Or not Kenneth Copeland, but Kenneth Hagin? Not only did he build a house for each one of his kids, he built a house for each one of his kids' kids. Isn't that something? He wasn't in it for himself. He was in it for everybody. And he taught us how to be about this business, about receiving from God. And one thing that he pointed out is you need to get on the grace side of this thing. You need to receive so you have something to give. Amen? Let's go to Psalm chapter 84, verse 8. Psalm chapter 84, verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. He will withhold no good thing. For the parents in here, when your little junior came up and asked you for a bicycle, did you say, do you really need that? Do you really need a new bicycle? Can't we just go to the secondhand store and get a used one? No, you wanted to have a nice, shiny, red bicycle for your kid under that Christmas tree. And here's the thing. I know it's important for kids to work and learn responsibility and have chores, but you know, when I was a little kid before I was big enough to do chores, at Christmas time, I wasn't worried. I just knew that it was going to be handled. You know, I knew it when I woke up in the morning, there was going to be Christmas presents all over the place for me. And I didn't do one thing to earn that. Now just stop and put yourself in the proper place. You cannot do one thing to earn anything from God. Your job is to receive, just like every day is Christmas. Receive from Him. Be expectant to receive from His goodness. That feeds Him. That blesses His heart when He sees His kids honor the blood of Jesus and say, I'm here by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, this is what I want. This is the desire of my heart. Be specific about it. Ask for it. And receive it. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I can get through this pretty quick because I've been through it so many times. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now it goes on a little bit later. It describes earthly fathers. But did you get that? Ask. Ask. There's too many people that are not asking. Jesus gave us the directions. He said, ask the Father in my name. That's for meeting our needs. Well, it's selfish to pray for myself. Oh, really, Hot Rod? Did you make yourself? Then you need to just back up a couple steps and start asking the one that created you to provide for you, because he knows how to do it better than you. Then here, verse 9 says, well, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, Jesus was talking to Jews here. You're not evil. You've been born again. But he said, even you won't do rotten things to your kid if he asks something from you. This is important now. You have to discern. See, there's a lot of people that look at God the way they do their earthly father. And they have a distorted image of God because of their earthly dad. They may have had a father that didn't bless them and encourage them in the word and take care of them, and maybe some of them had abusive fathers, and they just have a hard time identifying God as a good God. And then sometimes there's people get taught lies about God. Sometimes there's people behind the pulpits that teach them lies about God. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is good all the time. He is absolute pure light. In him there is no darkness. He has no bad things in store for you. Only good. Go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing, nothing is impossible. Sometimes we get a distorted image of ourselves. Sometimes we believe some of the lies we've been told when we're kids. We accept some of the limitations that people try to lay on us. That they say, you can't do this because you're born on the wrong side of the tracks. You can't do this, you don't have the right education. You know, there's all kinds of different excuses on why you can't do something. But God says that nothing shall be impossible unto you. When we lean on him and his name and his word and his spirit, you can do mighty things. You need to know that. Don't ever let anybody put limitations on you. Go to chapter 18, verse 18. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So there's a couple things we need to address in there. What needs to be bound in heaven? There's nothing wrong in heaven, so there's nothing that needs to be bound in heaven. So what they're talking about there, and whatsoever you allow to happen here on this earth, they allow it in heaven. But if you disallow it on this earth, heaven will back you up. We got a really good taste of this with Obama. The church sat on its butt in the pews waiting for somebody to do something. Most of them didn't even vote. And then Obama got in there. Somebody said, why did God let that happen? God didn't let that happen. The church did. And then we almost got a taste of it again with Hillary. But the church woke up. Remember, Kenneth Copeland said, hey, we need to do something about this. We need to pray. And we're going to have a specific time. We're all going to pray. He got the body of Christ all over. There was people all over the world praying for America. And I remember watching this. It started off early. Hillary was way up on top and Trump was way down here. And you could watch. At the time they started praying, the lines crossed. We're in the same shoes again. And we got a bunch of churchgoers that are saying, well, I'm just not going to vote. I don't like the Democrats, but I don't like Trump, so I'm just not going to vote. Well, you just voted. You voted for Satan. You see how that works? By saying nothing, you vote. Let's go to Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever, well, let's go to verse 21. It says, Jesus answered, said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you shall have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things. Now, we don't have to go moving mountains. But Jesus cursed that fig tree. Is there anything we need to be cursing? Cancer. Curse cancer in the name of Jesus. And watch that stuff dry up. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Right there in Jesus' own words again. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. We can't let limitations creep in. It may. Too many times, when faced with a challenge, people will say, we got to use common sense about this. Look at how much money we have in the bank account. And look at how much this is going to cost. That's not using common sense. That's being stupid. When God said to believe on Him, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things possible to him that believeth. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Literally, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Literally, I know a man that moved a mountain. Oop Troner, he's been here in this church. And he bought a farm, and this thing had a huge sand dune behind it. And everybody called it Oops Mountain. And he got tired of looking at that thing. He wanted to farm cotton back there. So him and his kids went up there on top of that mountain. They commanded that thing to be removed and be gone. The next morning, they got up, and that mountain was gone. Oops Mountain went away. And they never noticed any strong winds. It just went away. It's gone. You can do this stuff. Now go to John chapter 14, verse 12. We'll finish with this. This is the final answer for any doubt. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus gave you equal authority with him. If he said you could do the same things he did, then you can certainly do the same things Peter and Paul did. After all we have to do is use his name, and he does the doing. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you. We thank you that I will not be forgetful anymore. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace, and we thank you that everything that Jesus said we can do, we can do. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us on his cross and his death, burial, and resurrection. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.